Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we're so happy that you've taken the time to listen to our program this morning. We cordially invite you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Word and seek to answer questions written by the audience and give you a Bible answer for that question. We also want to encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will help you in your study of the Bible. We cordially invite you to our worship services. The time for those services will be given at the end of this broadcast. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our question today is concerning the Lord's Supper. It says, can we take the Lord's Supper on any day? Some churches take it once a month. The one that I belong to does once a month. Some do bi-weekly, some do quarterly, but I've noticed that you do it every first day of the week. What does the Bible say? Well, this is a very good question, and again, it shows a difference that is in the religious world. There are churches who take the Lord's Supper once a month. Some take it bi-weekly. Others take it twice a year on special holidays like Easter and Christmas. And then others take it on special occasions. And there's a variety of understandings and a variety of practices. And so does the Bible address this subject in when we should take it and how frequently we should take it? Well, let's see what the Bible says. First of all, we understand that the first day of the week is very significant. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, we see now after the Sabbath, which would be the first day of the week, would be the next day. As the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And so we see that the Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. If you continue reading the text, you'll see that they found the stone rolled away, and there was no one on the slab, and the bedclothes were folded on the slab, and they were told by an angel that he was not there, but he had risen. We also read in Mark's account, chapter 16, in verse 2, that very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And so we see that the Lord was resurrected on Sunday morning very early. Now, dawn was the first day of the week also, according to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. We also know that, according to John's account, that the disciples were privately meeting after the death of Christ and following his resurrection in chapter 20 of John in verse number 1. And it says, again, it reaccounts the resurrection account. But if we go down and we continue reading in the account in verse 19, it says, then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be still. So we see the Lord appeared to them when they were meeting together on the first day of the week in John chapter 20. We also want to look at the biblical account of Acts chapter 20, for it indeed is important to our subject matter of the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, on his missionary journey, had come to the disciples and he had departed to go to Macedonia in verse number 1. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return into Macedonia. And we're told that those who accompanied him in verse number 4. These men went ahead in verse 5 and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed towards away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now notice they stayed 7 days in Troas. Why? Well, verse 7 tells us why. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul was ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, and continued their message until midnight. You see, in Acts chapter 20, we have an apostolic approved example. The disciples met on the first day of the week to break bread. Paul waited those days to be with the disciples on the first day of the week to break bread. The Lord's Day has come to mean the first day of the week. We can also see that same terminology used in Revelation 1 in verse number 10. Why on Sunday? Why the first day of the week? Well, first of all, we see that that is the day that the church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That was on a Sunday. How do we know that? Pentecost came the next day after seven Sabbaths. Seven Sabbaths would be 49, and the 50th day would be Pentecost. That would always be on a Sunday. So we know that the Lord's church was instituted on a Sunday. That was the 50th day. We also understand that the Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. We also know that the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. We just read it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. We also know that we give of our means upon the first day of the week, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now, in all these passages, it signifies the importance of the first day of the week. If Acts 20 and 7 did not exist, if this apostolic example was not in the New Testament, then one could take the Lord's Supper on any day. Yet the example that's been approved by the apostles and is not in any way rebuked or wrong behavior asserted in Acts 20 verse 7, it was done on the first day of the week. Now, the question is asked, well, do we have to do it every first day of the week? Well, if you remember in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, the Jews were told to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Now, did the Jews ask which one? Did it mean one a month? Did it mean every other one? Did it mean once a quarter? No. Which Sabbath did they keep? They kept every Sabbath. Why? Because every week had a Sabbath day. And so they kept every Sabbath day. Now, which first day of the week do we observe? If we're going to do it every other week, if we're going to do it quarterly, if we're going to do it monthly, where would we get the authority in Scripture that validates and confirms that that was the practice of the early church, or a necessary inference, or an approved example? None of those exist in the Scripture. So if one does it every other week, if they do it quarterly, or they do it bi-monthly, they are assuming that that will be okay and that God will approve that. Yet if we do it every first day of the week, as we have approved example in Acts 20 verse 7, then we get it right every time, because a first day of the week comes 52 times a year. And so since the first day of the week comes 52 times a year, then we should always do the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week. Well, some will offer the argument of the substitute day that was given to the Passover in Numbers chapter 9, verse 8 through 14. Now, it is true that there were circumstances like one could come in contact with a dead body. They might touch an unclean animal that was killed or mutilated, and then they would be unclean and not be able to take the Passover. So they came to Moses and asked, why would they not be able to observe the Passover because of circumstances beyond their control? And so he told them to wait, and he would discuss it with God. Well, God determined that they would set up another time for the Passover exactly 30 days later, when circumstances prevented them from performing their responsibilities on the Passover on the allotted time. And so that was given in Numbers chapter 9, verse 8 through 14. And that's very true, and it was part of the law. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, remember, that was under the old law. If there was another type of stipulation that would allow another time, other than the first day of the week, for other circumstances, then we would have to find it in Scripture. We would have to find that instruction, as we do in Numbers chapter 9, verse 8 through 14, we'd have to find that additional instruction in the Scriptures, and from my study, that instruction does not exist. And so, we must do it on the first day of the week, because that's the apostolic example, the approved example, that we have in Scripture. Now I'll give you one more illustration. When I was in Las Vegas and preaching many years ago, I worked in the prison system and went out weekly to have Bible studies and classes for the prisoners. Prior to my getting there, there was another man who was working with the prison, and their day of going out there was on Thursday. Well, he began to take the Lord's Supper to the inmates on Thursday because he could not have it with them on the Lord's Day. Well, as soon as I got there, I ceased that practice. Why? Because there's no authority to do the Lord's Supper on a Thursday. The only day authorized by Scripture is the first day of the week. I understand the circumstances of the prison, but I can't alter God's law because of other people's circumstances. I have to abide by the law of God. Where would I go in the Scripture to give an approved example, a direct command, or a necessary inference that I could take the Lord's Supper on a Thursday? There is no such example. There is no such teaching in the Bible. Therefore, I cannot do it without divine approval. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatever I do in word or deed, do all by the name and the authority of the Lord. I must have a book, chapter, and verse. I must have divine sanction in order to do what I practice to do. If I don't have that divine authority, then I'm assuming that it's all right and that God will accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous practice to get into, to assume that you can change God's law and that it will be acceptable. One of the last arguments that's often made about observing it every first day of the week is that it begins to become it becomes monotonous, that it loses its significance and it loses its meaning. Well, the problem with that is in the person who's partaking of it. Why did the Lord have us to observe the Lord's Supper in the first place? We're told that we are to observe it in Matthew 26, when it was instituted, it was to be done in remembrance of Him. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and following show that every time we take it, we proclaim the Lord's death till He come. Could it ever become insignificant, and could it become too worrisome to remember the death of our Savior and the significance that that means to our eternal life and the promise of eternal life? If it becomes insignificant because we do it all the time, then the heart needs to change, not the practice. The problem is not the daily, the weekly observance. The problem is the heart of the one observing it. And so the question is, do we have to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Yes. That's the example we have in Scripture. And if we want to have divine authority, that's the only time we can take it, and we must do it every first day of the week. Thank you.